The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, Confederation championships, World championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Yes, I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and this is the TWBC Podcast, coming to you from Trophy Lakes in Charleston in South Carolina prior to the Malibu Open. And the next guest that I have on this podcast on this fine, beautiful, sunshiny day with hardly a ripple on the water is Mr. Peace, Love, and Water Skiing himself, Mr. Corey Vaughn. How are you doing, sir?
Great, Tony. Happy to be here with you. Glad to be down at Trophy Lakes. Definitely one of my favorite places to ski. And I heard one of yours as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, way, way back in the day when I was slicing and dicing it out there on the slalom course, I had been known to get into 11.25 meters, not much beyond that point since, but maybe one of these days I can slap the ski on and do some stuff at 34. But this isn't about me, this is about Corey. So and you come to us out of Bumpus in Virginia. Hopefully I'm saying that right, because if I hadn't been saying it right, there would have been about four or five years in a row where I've been saying it incorrectly. That is Bumpus.
Yeah, you got that right. As you spell it on paper, I mean, some people might read bump ass, but
I'm glad you said it. Not
yeah,
me.
It could be frowned upon. So Bumpus is what the locals say. So you got that right. Exactly.
Yes, and obviously you get visitors from all across the nation, including a good friend of you, of yours and mine, Mr. Bob Marley himself. So big shout out to him. What was his visit like?
Oh, it's always great having Bob down. He's great at rounding up a crew. He usually brings his two sons along with him, and they're kind of the driving force. Those guys are all ski hungry, so we love having them. And the first time he ever came down, I think it was like November 18th through 20th, which usually ski school is closed. And I was like, Bob, it's too late in the season for you and your boys to be coming down here. It's going to be freezing. He was like, no, man, it's all right. We're from Maine. We're going to be fine. And I'll be darned, man. They skied. The boys were jumping off the upper deck and swimming around. And they always just bring a fun time. And if you've heard Bob in his comedy, he's just as much fun to hang out with in person or even more. And so always love having him down.
All right. Give us a little bit of a rundown of what your typically day consists of, you know, over at your ski school in the northern realms of Virginia.
Yeah, well, it's been changing a little bit for me this year. I mean, historically, the ski school's been growing. This is the 11th year, and
it's been that long.
Yeah, 11 years now. And for the first 10, basically the product was if you came to my ski school, you were getting me in the boat, kind of like if you go to Chet Raley's ski school or Matt Rini's, like that's the product. But this year, my wife and I were bringing our son Seth into the world, and I knew that the 16-hour days were going to have to change. You know, and 16 hours was about 12 in the boat and 4 hours doing emails and bookings. So I brought on some more help this year, and I've been really thankful. Everyone that's come and helped out, Mike Kuziak, Topher Hummel, Colin Diviak, Mason Guilford, Jason Breyer, these guys have stepped up and taken a lot off of my plate. And I did not expect to be as relaxed, loosening the reins, letting some other people handle a lot of the coaching. I've still been in the boat myself, and I've been loving it. And I've actually had some pretty good dedicated ski time. But, I mean, the gist of it is we run from April 1 to November 1. So we got a nice, seasonal business, go when the sun's shining. And we're normally open all daylight hours. And especially in the midsummer, June, July, August, that boat is running from the time the sun comes up until the time the sun goes down. And I'm just thrilled that so many people are accessing the sport and getting more deeply involved. And we've really created a rich community out there at the ski school. And it seems like it just picks up a little bit each year like a tumbleweed. And I hope that just keeps on growing.
okay, obviously you mentioned with the increase in staff, you know, and everything, that it's given you a little bit more time to be relaxed and skiing. You know, how has that manifested itself with your performances on the water? Do you feel like, you know, the kind of weight of the world of being involved at the ski school on a day-to-day basis is kind of like lifted off your shoulder, and then you can go out there and just ski the crud out of 41 off, huh?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's a great point. This is really the first year in my skiing career that I've felt like I've gotten the chance to ski and train like a pro skier and make that a priority. In the past, I watched myself just book people in times where I thought that I would be skiing, but I couldn't really resist selling those slots to earn a living. And this year, I blocked off from noon to two every day for training time and coaches' ski time. So there's a dedicated portion of the day each day that I know I have the ability to ski. And so I've been able to do my warm-ups up at the house, come down to the dock. Again, I got to be thankful to my coaches and drivers. They've kind of let me come down to the dock, ski first. So I just stroll down there. I'm all kind of prepped and ready in my mind and my body, and go out and crush buoys. And that's so much better than, I mean, you've been around ski schools enough, than jumping out of the boat, trying to slam in a warm up real quick. You still got the last six skiers in your mind, and you try to go out there and do your thing. This has really...
Not the ideal situation.
Not an ideal situation. This has been a game-changing year in that regard for me. And so far, it's been some good performances this year. I feel really good about the way I've been skiing, and a lot of that goes back to the training. And we got some big stuff ahead of us, so we're going to find out if it pays off here through the home stretch of the season.
I mean, you mentioned the scarf. I mean, you mentioned Mike Kuziak and a couple of others that I may have recognized, you know. But, you know, having the opportunity to train out there is one thing. Having quality sets is another, you know, especially when it comes down to 39 and 41 off, where having that boat in the right position and keeping it in that right position is absolutely critical to success. So, I mean, how has that been for you, taking everything you said into account?
Yeah, so that's another great point, Tony. Up until this year, my primary ski partner, and she still is my wife, Amelia. She was my go-to driver, and she started driving for me, I believe, in 2015.
Wow.
And if you go back and kind of look at my scores, you can actually see, even as she just started to learn short line driving, and she started with short line driving, her first three sets through the course with a boat were me, and then Chris Parrish. And so she started right at the top, and my scores went up when I started training with her. She's taken it very seriously. I can't thank her enough for that dedication. And so that's allowed me someone great to ski with all these years. But then this year, having Kuz also available on a daily basis, because my wife, well, one, we had a baby, so she's with the baby, and two, she works full-time. So to try to fit in skiing on both of our schedules can be tough. So having somebody in the boat like Mike, who is a fantastic driver, having done it 20 plus years. He worked here at Trophy Lakes like 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And then when Amelia can come in and drive and Kuz can shift over to the passenger seat, then I have somebody with the know-how and the coaching experience to give me some critical feedback and say, hey, you know, you stood up too quickly on your gate that time. That's why you ran out of speed, or whatever it may be. Things that I know I should be doing, but I'm not aware of in those short moments at 41 off. And so that has been extremely valuable.
Give us an overview of what your season has been like this year, because, I mean, you've skied a number of events, Hilltop and what have you, Swiss Pro and Lord knows what else, you know. So, I mean... Your skiing is on the rise. Your consistency is there. That's hoped in no small part by your cadre drivers and Amelia through the years, you know. So how's that manifested itself in performances in this season leading up to this event and quite possibly the World Championships coming up afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, I do feel really good about it. Like you said, it's all about quality sets and getting that quality time on the water, which I think I've had better this year than ever before. So I think one of my best tournaments was at Herb's Cup out there at Radar Lake. I felt really good leaving home, going out to the event, showed up there. The good training at home transferred into the event. Felt confident all weekend, won the event. So that was a nice confidence booster. And then I went to the Nationals / U.S. Open. That one didn't quite go so well for me. I felt pretty good.
Didn't go well for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was a little weird in that way. I don't know what the deal was. It was one round, and it was over before I knew it. And, I try to shrug those things off and just let them go and not get too down about it. And then came back the following weekend to Hilltop, and it was cold out there, so had to kind of factor in a little bit of different water temperature and things like that. But overall, skiing went pretty well. Had a couple of nice 39s, didn't get down to three ball at 41, which you kind of have to do these days if you want to be advancing in finals and so forth. And then that was the last big thing until now. I skied a record tournament a couple weeks ago at Little Mountain, got a couple of threes, which is all fine and good, but that's different at a record tournament. I'd like to go out here at when the chips are really down on the line, and I'd like to see that second half of 41 get past the three ball.
Yes, indeed. You're actually one of the very few skiers that has actually gone through 41 off. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I've done it two times, and it's been a little too long now, so it's overdue. I'd like to bring that back, and hopefully one of these upcoming opportunities this fall will afford me the chance.
Because, I mean, at 43 off, what is it? 43 off the standard 75-foot line. It's 32 feet of line. The course is 37.5 feet wide. Schlubs like me can't even get round the buoy on a trick ski. And you stand at, what is it, 6'3", 6'4", something like that?
I'm like 6'2", within my bare feet. Got a lot of legs. And I feel like that 6'2", you see a lot of great skiers, Andy Mapple, Nate, Freddie, everyone's kind of right around that 6'2", standing. And so it's enough to get there, but it takes a lot of things going right. At least in my case, I'm not doing it every time by any means. So you got to get the gait right, and everything from there has to be pretty much at 100%.
Asking you as one of the very few people to have gotten through 41 off in recent times, is 43 off runnable?
That's a great question. I feel like the answer will bear itself out in time, and I want to lean towards yes. I mean, we keep seeing the technology change, and we keep seeing milestones achieved that no one thought was going to be humanly possible. I mean, years ago, they would have thought 39 was impossible, then 41 certainly physically impossible, and those things have happened. So 43, you got to figure that the physics could allow for it. We just have not yet cracked away, and to me, in my practice, it has not seemed possible, but I'm not ready to rule it out.
What has been the most significant change in slalom skiing in recent years that has seen the proliferation of scores that we've seen today from yourself and a lot of the other competitors that you compete against? I mean, you mentioned zero off. It gives a more conducive, more appealing pool, and it can be customized. But is there anything else that you can think of that has led to the scores that we've seen out there on the water?
Yeah, I think you put your finger on the big one. I think with zero off coming into the game and regulating with such great consistency the speed, it's provided drivers the opportunity to focus just on steering. And then we've had SurePath now as a new implementation of technology in the sport to where the drivers really know where they are all the time. They get a lot of feedback that is, actual real-time feedback. So that is a big help. But then I think that once zero off came into the picture and provided that steady pull, I think you saw all of the ski companies adapt their strategies in building skis and ski design to meet a new style of skiing, and the combination of those two things, as well as I think I can't speak for it 100%, but a lot of these guys, these athletes are training really hard year round all the time. I mean, I know people have been doing that for decades, but you see so many guys now getting into mid 41 and running 39 that you didn't see decades ago. And there's a level of dedication out there, despite the fact that we are not making tennis money or pro basketball money or something like that, that is, it's pretty unparalleled.
Absolutely. So before I let you go, and I thank you for being a participant in this podcast, we've got the Worlds that's just around the corner. Now, a lot of people are speculating what it's going to take to make it through to the finals. I'm going to ask you two questions on that one, both at the same time. What score do you reckon that it's going to take to advance through to the finals without the need for a runoff? And what and for those that are going to need a runoff to make it through to the finals, because inevitably there's going to be a pack jam at 2 or 3 at 41 off to make it through to the final. You know, what are those scores look like in your mind?
Yeah, so I think the Worlds is going to take 12 people into the final, and I think what you're going to see is that there will be a handful of skiers that get 3. My prediction is going to be that all of the 3s are going to be in without runoff, and there are going to be a lot of skiers with 2 in the men's slalom, and there's going to be a big runoff of cold 39s that have to differentiate themselves from the 2 ball.
So like about 6 people battling for 2 spots.
That sounds about right. The 10 people that could get 3 at 41 plus that are going to be safely through, and then another 6 people, like you said, with 2 that are going to be trying to claim those last 2 spots. And I've been practicing my cold 39s at home for that exact reason.
All right, then. So we thank you very much for participating in this podcast. Any last shout-outs that you want to give to your fans and folks?
Well, one big one just right back at you and TWBC. It's the biggest thing that's happening in the sport right now. Myself, my family, and everybody at my staff at ski school is able to follow the sport and enjoy it so much more because of the fantastic broadcasting that's going on. So that should just, I want to put that out there as a big thank you to the hard work of you, Vince, and the whole crew. And then, big shout out to my wife, Amelia, and my son, Seth, and my mom and my whole family. And another big thank you to everybody that helped me out at ski school this year, both the in staff taking that load off of my shoulders, really allowing me to have the season that I wanted to have, and the great community of people that come out and take lessons and bring their family and friends out and support the ski school and help grow that community. So I feel very blessed, and I hope to keep it going and steering that ship in a good direction.
All right, then. That was Mr. Peace, Love, and Water Skiing himself, Mr. Corey Vaughn. You can Google him and find out more about him at Peace, Love, and Water Skiing. My name is Tony Lightfoot. This has been the TWBC podcast. And until the next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.